And, you know, last week, my family had the opportunity to take a little vacation. It's the first vacation since COVID hit. I don't know if you guys remember March 15th, my family had taken a little weekend retreat away, and then COVID hit that weekend, so it was our fault for going away. So I think us going away last week was the reason the numbers have spiked so high, right? Doesn't that make sense? Isn't that logical? Yeah. But, you know, as we were down in nowhere, Missouri, in a log cabin on 50 acres, it was amazing. Awesome week. But as we began to wrap up on last Sunday morning and load up the van and start driving home, I began to notice the further north we got, something was going on. And it was basically all the trees that had leaves no longer had leaves. Now, my yard, I love my yard in the summer and in the winter. It's beautiful. Spring, beautiful. Fall kills me because I have ash trees in the front and they drop their leaves early. And my neighbor behind me, whose branches cover my yard, those drop later. So before we left, I had taken care of all the, you know, the ash tree leaves, bundled those up, got them out. But as I'm driving home, I saw what was waiting for me even before I got there. And so as we drove home, we get home, I walk into my backyard, and no kidding, I step into my backyard and my shoes were covered because that's how deep the leaves were back there. And because it was a beautiful day last Sunday, I grabbed the boys and I said, all right, let's go. And so we put in 2 hard hours of work and we got them all up. We vacuumed, we mowed, we bagged, we whatever. You know, we did all these things to make sure that our yard was ready for winter and cleaned up, you know. You know, and as I thought about that, I thought, you know, a lot of times when we think of cleaning, especially, you know, working around the house and the yard, a lot of time we think of spring cleaning. We don't often think of that fall cleanup that needs to happen. I do because of my yard. But I know this year, especially because of COVID, how many of you can comment online too, how many of you in the room definitely did a little spring cleanup this year? You cleaned out the basement. Man, you did more work this year than you'd ever done before. Anybody? I see a few hands here. See if anybody comments online. You know, we did that. And now that we're in this season, November, we're about a week and a half away from Thanksgiving. Anybody think we'd still be here this long? No. Anybody glad we're still here this? No, not at all. But as I thought about where we are and how long this has lasted, much longer than any of us wanted or expected, today I just thought, is it time for us to do a little fall cleanup? To do a little fall cleanup, not just in our yards or houses, but in our souls. Because I know sometimes if we don't take the time to kind of become a little introspective, our souls do like my yard does. They get a little cluttered. The leaves start to pile up, and unless I step back for a moment and kind of grab the rake and weed through it, my soul will be congested. And I think this morning I just wanted to encourage us to say, let's do a little spring clean out, or fall clean out rather. But to get us started, I thought we would play a little game. Now, you remember a couple weeks ago, Pastor Ryan did the Never Have I Ever. That's a dumb game to me. It lets you off the hook, right? So today we're going to use a game called That's Me or I Did It, okay? And so if you're watching online, you have to participate because I want you to say me in the comments. So I'm going to throw some things out here because we're going to use today as a little bit of time to own up to some things, to clean out some things, maybe to confess some things. So here we go. You guys ready? First one's this. I have smelled my kid's dirty diaper, but waited until my spouse noted so I didn't have to change it. Come on. Oh, yeah, there's some hands right there. And I know. Yeah, it does work both ways. You get the other one back. I have used my kids as an excuse to get out of something. Oh, there we go. Yes, praise God for children. I've eaten some or several or possibly an entire bag of grapes while going through the grocery store. Anybody? Anybody? Oh, there's some hands. Yes, yes, grapes. That's right. We love those grapes. Now, the other side of that question is how many of you have let your kids just eat that whole bag of grapes just to shut them up as you're going through the grocery store? There's a witness right there. Here's a good one. I've told my kid a toy was broken when really I just took out the batteries. Oh, yes, hallelujah. On the other side of that one, I have given a loud and obnoxious toy to a family member's child just because they deserved it. Yes, see, now we've got finger pointing happening in the room. That's good. Okay, here's a COVID-specific one. I now have made a new personal best for the most days between showers. Anybody? Oh, there's a hand in the room. Some people online need to maybe put shower just so we know that who to avoid when we're around next time. Does what now? Washcloth does not count. It's not a shower. Okay, here we go. I was the reason there was a shortage on toilet paper. Anybody?
No.
Oh, you guys were a little too late to the store. Okay. Here's another COVID one. I have attended a Zoom meeting without pants on. Anybody? Oh, there's a hand in the room right there. Okay. Wow, this is confession time. I've eaten something, the last of something, and put an empty container back in the cabinet or refrigerator. Oh, mortal sin, right? That's horrible. Oh, the kids are getting pointed at now. Okay. Called into sick, even though you weren't really sick, to work. Yeah, got a few hands there. Yeah. Here's a funny one. I've actually done this one. I've hidden when someone came over to my house so they thought I wasn't home. Anybody else? Oh, good. I'm not alone. Awesome. Awesome. That's good. Now, these are silly, right? Most of these are just goofy ones, and we all can own up to these. Don't answer on these next few, but here's a few more that I wonder if sometimes don't clutter up our souls a little bit. Somebody shared something with me. I said I'd pray for them, but never did. Whew. Hold on, preacher. Stepping on toes. My spouse and I are having a few more moments of intense fellowship than we ever have. I'm experiencing bursts of anger, fits of rage, moments of pride or arrogance, lack of compassion, impatience, lack of self-control. Here's one, now that the political season's over, maybe. My politics have become the most important kingdom in my life. We can check Facebook feeds for that one most of the time. Oops, did I say that? The religious checklist of things I'm supposed to do has become more important to me than a real relationship with Jesus. That's a hard one though, right? Because if we think about that, the checklist is so much easier. Okay, I need to pray. Okay, God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. Check. You know, turned on the church service online. It was in the background. Check, attended church, right? The checklist is easy. You know, it's been said that confession is good for the soul. And that phrase is not in the Bible, but certainly the principle is. And today, as we stare directly into this oncoming holiday season and several more months of this pandemic, I thought it'd be a good idea for us to spend some time doing a fall cleanup of our souls. Now, there is a problem with this, though, because if we're honest, how many of you would say confession is scary? Anybody? Yeah? You can comment online. Do you think confession is scary? Yeah, it is a little, it's problematic for us, because in its definition, you know what a confession is? It's just simply a declaration or an acknowledgement. That's all that it is, and it doesn't have to mean this airing of dirty laundry. What it can mean is it can actually be a confession, a profession of faith in God. I mean, even in Romans, it says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a confession. It's a confession of faith in God. But we also know that confession has that pesky little side to it as well that bothers us, that we don't care for. And it's that second part on that slide there, that it's not just that confession of faith in God, it's that declaration or that acknowledgement of sin and guilt that hopefully should lead to repentance. And that's the scary definition. Because it's scary because it means we have to look at ourselves long enough and deeply enough to evaluate who we are, what our motives are, why we do the things we do, and how our lives may be impacting those around us. How many of us can honestly say that's a regular rhythm of our lives? Usually not. Usually we just like to live in ignorance, right? Let's just keep going. And when things maybe start to get a little real, let's put on Netflix so that I can veg out and then not have to think about it. I can look at somebody else. Because when we begin to take that deep look within, when we begin to ask those questions, who am I? Why am I doing what I'm doing? It's scary because then we have to do some things. we might actually have to admit our imperfections. We might have to acknowledge that we're not perfect. And we know we're not, but who wants to own up to that? We may have to own up to our failures and sin and then actually wait for it. We may actually have to change. And that's a terrible word that we don't like to encounter. And it's also scary because if we do all these things, then we might need to even be impressed to go and share that with somebody else. You know, actually tell somebody else we're not perfect. And then occasionally, maybe even often, we're called to even make restitution of some type, ask forgiveness, whatever. Now, I realize that in this moment, our numbers online have probably dropped significantly. No, I'm just kidding. They really haven't. They're really good. And you guys in the room are like, I'm out. No, this, you're like, this is a, such an uplifting message. But to me, this is the problem with the word confession. Confession becomes a word that we want to run away from. We want to get away from it because we don't like it. And when we're in a season like we're in right now, in this pandemic that drags on, it's very hard to get away from who we are, right? I mean, it's very difficult to escape who we are at our core because we're coming face to face with it. And it's usually in the big things that we're more willing to take those introspective looks. I mean, when we were on vacation last week, someone in the church has always been gracious enough to watch our dog. Something tragic happened to our dog last week. It died, and it was a horrible thing. But I will tell you, in those moments when the bigger things happen in life, you really begin to question some things because, you know, even though I am not a pet person, my family knows this about me. In fact, one of the things my wife said last week was, that was the last dog because you said we could never get another dog. And I'm like, well, get another dog. Good golly, don't throw it in my face right now. I'm going to pay for that one when I get home, by the way. But even though I'm not a pet person, you know, another pet had jumped over the fence and attacked our dog and killed it. Sad. You know, in that moment, you know what I thought? Well, that dog's got to die. That person's got to pay. And then I have to go, okay, now hold on. Let's pull back a little bit. Well, the person had said their dog had never done that before. It jumped a fence. It didn't usually do that. Never attacked anything like that before. There's really, it's just kind of a freak accident. And so rather than having to go after that person and make them pay, I thought, okay. But it's in those moments where I'm confronted with that anger, that desire for, you know, vengeance. But what about the everyday? What if it's just the everyday? What if it's when you lose your keys and you can't find them, or your kid's sassing you like my 8-year-old likes to do, or, you know, the person cuts you off in traffic? Aren't those the moments, too, that reveal a lot about our souls and a lot about what's taking place within us? Absolutely. You know, and we know this, everybody can look good when everything's going good, but what happens when things aren't going as planned? Are we willing in those moments to take that retrospective look inside and say, or that introspective look rather, and say, who am I? And is there something that God's wanting to do inside me? So today I want us to see if we can shake off the negative picture we have of confession. Instead of running from it, we run toward it and we embrace it and we find their freedom in life. And a great place for us to go, there's a lot of places we could have gone in the Bible, New Testament, Old Testament, but I wanted to jump into Psalm 32. It's this beautiful picture of what we're talking about. And verse 1 is going to be on the screen. Just look at verse 1 as this psalm starts out. It's Psalm of David. It says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And I just want to stop right there because even as I was studying this week, I honestly just got tripped up on verse 1. And when I say tripped up, I just had to sit there for just a moment because it begins with that word blessed. Blessed. You know, and we have so manipulated and mangled that word in our culture, we really don't understand. So we see blessed and we're like, oh, prosperous, good health, everything going well for you. And that is not at all what blessed is referring to. Blessed here is talking about contentment, fulfillment, just having a fullness in your life, complete wellness of being. Now, doesn't that sound better than a picture of a new car and hashtag blessed? Absolutely it does. And so blessed, that is something that, man, I want. I want that contentment. I want that fulfillment. I want that wellness in my life. So who is it for? It says it's the one. The one who's what? It's the one who is, who sins and transgressions forgiven and sins covered. Okay, so there's someone that it's talking about that can achieve or get to this place of blessed. And I won't say achieve, that's the wrong word, but we can get there. It's not unattainable for us. We can feel that way. And even in the midst of this goofy pandemic, we can have that contentment, that sense of total wellness, well-being in our lives. And then as we see that we can be blessed. So what is the next part of that? It says whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins. And there's two different words going on there. And anytime you see kind of that synonym thing happening, we want to ask that question. What is the writer doing there? Why did they use the same word essentially twice? Because we would probably just say sins and be done with it and move on. But really, when you look at the foundation of these words, transgressions is talking about that intentional rebellion. I'm going to do something that I know is not right, and I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway. And sin, that word there, is kind of just talking about shooting a bow and arrow and the arrow just missing the mark. Maybe even unintentionally. It just means that, you know, just as the person cuts you off in traffic, you let those words slip that probably shouldn't come out of your mouth, that anger rage up, and then you're like, oh, we missed the mark in how we should have responded. And so what the psalmist is saying here is that everything from those accidental slip-ups where we miss the mark all the way over to the intentional rebellious things that we might do, there can be forgiveness. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a little bit awe-inspiring? Because in Brent's economy of justice, that doesn't take place. That never... Intentional rebellion will get you on the crap list and keep you there. But for some reason, in God's economy, he says, look, whether it's transgressions or whether it's sins, there's forgiveness for those people. Oh, wow. And then he talks about, it says, your transgressions are forgiven. And with that, there's this idea, when you look at the Hebrew word, it's to lift away, to pick up, to think about that for a moment, to lift up. So you have these transgressions, and does anybody else feel this way, that when you've sinned, when you've done something wrong, you've had that fight with your spouse and you were at fault, or you've said something you shouldn't have to a friend or coworker, you feel that, don't you? Don't you feel that, just the weight of that pressure being on you? And so when the psalmist writes this and it says your transgressions are forgiven, it's that idea of lift it up. Now, who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want the release that comes from the forgiveness when that sin has been weighing on you to just be lifted up and to find that freedom in your soul? And the second word there, whose sins are covered. Remember who our audience was for this original writing? This was the Jewish people. This would have been a song that they sung. They grew up reading Genesis or hearing the stories of Genesis, and to get to this line in the song, whose sins are covered, your mind would be taken back to Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve took the fruit and in open rebellion disobeyed God and they hid. What did God do for them? He said, Adam, where are you? And Adam says, I'm naked. We're naked. We're not coming out. Who told you you're naked? Well, we ate of the fruit. And what did God do for them in that moment? He covered them. Isn't that a great parallel to think about? That sin, when your sin is covered, it's the same idea that God in the Garden of Eden is taking you missing the mark, and he's covered that. Isn't that awesome? Now, I will tell you, one challenge when we read Psalms like this is in our logical, enlightened, Western mindset, you know what we like to do with stuff like this? We like to make it transactional. We want to make it logical because that's how at least my mind works. This is poetry. This is songs. This was meant to bring some depth to our understanding of what confession can do and what sin will do as well, but how great that forgiveness is. It's awesome. It's awesome. You know, as we think about this, this is a beautiful picture. But I want to, let's keep reading. Let's go to verse 2. Go to that next slide. Blessed is the one, again, blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sin. There's two main points I want you to see here today. I want you to take away. And the first is just simply this. Unconfessed sin will have a negative impact in your life. Did you see what he said? He says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. You ever done that? You ever had a beef with somebody? You knew you were at fault. What happened there? You felt that. You felt the weight of what was going on. When we keep silent, when we won't deal with it, what happens is we feel that. It eats us up from the inside. And sometimes we want to diminish sin. Sometimes we want to diminish what that will actually do to us, but we can't, because this is a reminder that when we have this in our soul, it'll eat away at your soul and it'll eat away at your life. And not only that, but if you looked here, he also talks about the relationships that we have. It will eat away at the relationships in your life too. When you have that beef with somebody, when you've had that disagreement, when you've done something to someone, that relationship is fractured. It's a wall that's been established. And when we have sin, there's a wall that we build between us and God. And refusing to confess just keeps adding those bricks to the wall. But the other side of this, the second point of this message, is that even though unconfessed sin will have a negative impact on your life and your relationships, that confession brings us the forgiveness of God. Confession is the wrecking ball to that wall that destroys it and takes it completely out. You know, the psalmist did not say, then I acknowledged my sin to you and covered up my iniquity, and you punished me and made me pay for what I had done. And after a season, you finally forgave me, but kept bringing it back up to remind me of my failure. That's what we think, though, isn't it? You see, here's what's so fascinating to me about confession, is that we run from it, we avoid it like the plague, or like the COVID, we should say now, right? We avoid it, but when we avoid it because we don't understand it. We avoid it because we expect, if we confess to God, that God's going to say, okay, then you're going to get beat. Anybody done this? You've screwed up somewhere in your life, said something to your spouse, whatever, doesn't matter, but screwed up in some way, and then something bad happens to you, like right away, and you're like, oh, there's God. God got me. That's so stupid. That is not God. And we associate those things to say that, yep, God got me. And that's what keeps us from confessing. Because here's the bigger point. You see, there's two ways we can view confession. We can view confession as punitive. That judgment, just God waiting to smack us around. Or we can see it as restorative. The breaking down of the wall that exists between us and God, or us and others, and that wall being removed restores that relationship with God. I mean, I'm with you. We all have maybe that image of 27 verses of just as I am while a pastor tries to guilt and manipulate people to come down and confess Jesus as Lord. I'm with you. We run and hide from that. But we have to understand, and we need to see confession in a different light. Confession is good for the soul. Confession is not meant to be punitive. It's meant to be restorative. And if we can see confession as the remedy for what ails us, the salve for our suffering, shame-filled souls, we'll work to make confession a part of the liturgy of our lives. Think about that. what is the liturgy of your life? And how the liturgy, crazy word, we use it in religious. Sometimes it just means a formal worship service. We don't use that much in Baptist world. But it's really just a ritual. It's the things that we do over and over again. How often is confession a part of your routine, your ritual, your everyday? You know, even the Lord's Prayer, Jesus, when he instructed us to pray, why did he say, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sin against us? Today, I just want to encourage you. Can we make confession a part of the liturgy of our lives? Not because maybe as you'd heard in the past that, well, you know what? You need to keep a short account with God. No, it's not that reason. It's just because it's good. And it's because in the moments of acknowledging our brokenness, guess what happens? That's where we experience God's love and his grace. And what I need you to understand is this message today isn't for good people. If you're sitting there going, I'm good people, great for you. This isn't for you then. Jesus isn't for you then. Because Jesus didn't come for good people. Jesus came for the people that can look in themselves and say, you know what, I'm broken. I'm weak. I need help. And our confession is nothing but a constant reminder that our lives are not defined by our successes or our failures, but by what God says about us and what Jesus has done for us. And it doesn't always mean, confession doesn't mean just tears running down the face all the time and, you know, running towards the altar. That's not necessarily realistic. Sometimes it is, but not always. You know what confession really looks like when it's a part of the liturgy of our lives? It's taking that next step. Is saying, yep, I biffed that one pretty good, God. Forgive me, God. I'm going to keep following you. And it's just one step after another. It's not perfection. It is surrender. Now, this message really pushes against our culture. In a culture that says, be who you are, be your truest self, love yourself the way just you are. This message pushes against that idea, challenges that idea, it reminds us that we may not be our best selves as we currently are. And as we continue this journey, we're going to see the cracks in our character. And as we come face to face with those deficiencies and shortcomings, as our defects and sins rise to the surface, are we going to be willing to confess? See, last week, Amy did a great job on that message talking about remain. I listened to it this week. It was awesome. Maybe some of you were remaining this week, and in that remaining moment, God brought some things out. You see, when we remain, it means that God may shine the light on some things that we need to pay attention to. The next step after remaining might be confessing those sins, those behaviors, those attitudes, those things that are hindering your relationship with God. Sometimes God wants to bring other people into that. He encourages us to tell somebody else for accountability, for encouragement. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe there's something tripping you up and you're like, I can't get there on my own. You're not supposed to share that. James talks about confessing our sins to one another and finding healing in our lives. And then one final thought about this topic. The benefit of confession is definitely forgiveness and restored relationship with God. But I think there's something equally important that happens to us as well. When we understand our own brokenness and failure, we are less judgmental when we see it in others. Wouldn't that be nice to see in our world today? The ability for us to confess makes us more merciful and more compassionate towards others when they fail. And it opens the doors for amazing opportunities to tell them and to share about our own brokenness and the forgiveness that we find on the cross in Christ. See, a confession can change us, but can also change the world. And it changes how we interact with the world. So today, the final question is just simply this. Will you make confession a part of the liturgy of your life? Let's pray.